In the conjugate Gregorian method, we don't control anymore the direction. Okay? Because the direction is minus the gradient plus a multiple of the previous directions. So we keep track of all the previous directions. And, I mean, this means that we are losing control on the direction. Okay? While in the gradient method we know that the angle is going to be pi between the same direction and the gradient, or at most we can impose that the direction does not become orthogonal to the gradient. Here we lose this, and actually it may happen. Okay, it may happen that the gradient and the conjugate direction tend to become orthogonal. Okay? And I want to show you that when this happens, things may go bad, in the sense that the algorithm may slow down. I mean, it may become a very slow, convergence may become very slow. Okay? So, suppose for instance that so this angle between the gradient of f at xk and dk becomes roughly 1/5, okay, very close to 1/5. It means that the cosine of this angle is roughly 0. Okay, I should not write equal, I should say roughly. Okay, all my argument now will be not precisely mathematical, it will be things may go this way. Okay, it's an approximate reason, but let's say it's an heuristic argument. Okay, let's suppose that this is roughly 0. By definition of the cosine, we know that this is the scalar product of the gradient with the direction divided by the product of their norms. Somehow you can consider this the definition of the cosine. And, well, let me just switch the sign here. So let's add a minus. And let me exploit this inequality here that we have when the strong Wolf condition holds. The scalar product between the gradient and the direction is less or equal than this quantity here. So I switch the sign, I multiply by minus 1, so this is greater or equal than 1 minus C2, 2 times C2 divided 1 by minus C2. And here, since here we are dividing by this stuff, here you have the norm of the gradient. The square goes away with this one. And you have decay. The norm of decay. Okay? Now, this is positive, okay? Let's say, for instance, we take C2 to be 1/4, so this is not very close to 0. This is positive, so all of this is greater or equal than 0, but it is also almost less or equal than 0. What does it mean? Since this is not close to 0, this must be close to 0. So this means, okay, let not me use implication, that it is that we are likely to expect this, that the norm of the gradient is much smaller than the norm of the direction. Okay? Yeah, if you take one fourth, this is two thirds, I think. So, this is what is going to happen if the angle is almost 90 degrees. Well, what does it mean? Well, we have this, but also we have that this color product is almost zero. Okay? It means here, actually, it is our starting point, that this angle is almost 90 degrees. It means that our direction, the same direction, is almost orthogonal to minus the gradient, which is the steepest descent direction. Okay? So it's likely that if you move orthogonally to the steepest descent direction, you are not going down much. Okay? And you are not making a long step. Okay, so this is the most heuristic part of the argument. Okay? Because if the angle is more than 90 degrees, if this angle were here, this would be an ascent direction. The function would be up. Since you are almost orthogonal, it's likely that you cannot move with a long step size to go down. You go down, but likely you make a very small step, so that TK is close to zero as well. Okay. Now, if this is true, it may be untrue, okay? You may be almost orthogonal to the steepest descent direction and make a long step, okay? But it is very likely that you are going to do a small step. If you are going to do a small step, the new point is going to be close to the old one, the current one. Okay? So, xk plus 1 is not very different from xk. Also, if these are close, it is also likely that the gradient will not change much. So that the gradient at the new point will not vary different from the gradient at the parent point. Okay? Another heuristic argument. Okay? It's not true. It depends on how f is done. But since the gradient changes with continuity, you expect this. Okay? And now, let's see what happens to the new direction, dk plus 1, okay? Dk plus 1 is minus the gradient of f at xk plus 1 plus beta k plus 1 dk. But beta k plus 1 is the ratio of the square of the norms of the gradient of f at the two points. Since these two gradients are close, it's likely that the ratio of their norm is almost 1. Okay? So, this is almost, the descent direction is almost minus the gradient plus dk. There's something that strikes me wrong here. Okay, and the gradient of f at xk plus 1 is almost the gradient at xk. Okay, so you approximate this with this and this with 1. Okay. So, what happens? I'm summing the gradient of effort xk plus the direction dk. But if you consider the norms, the norm of decay is much bigger than the norm of decay. So you are adding, let's say, a big vector and a small vector. The sum of these two won't be very different from this. Okay? Suppose that this is arbitrarily large and this is arbitrarily small. This sum is going to be almost decay. Okay? So this is showing you that if the angle between the direction and the gradient is almost one half pi, then the new direction is going to be not very different from the previous one. Okay? And if the new direction is similar to the previous one, and the gradient at the new point is similar to the gradient at the previous point, it is likely that the new angle between the gradient and the new direction will be, once again, almost 1 half pi. Okay? So that we can repeat the very same argument. Okay? So, this is also telling you that the new angle is likely to be similar to the previous one, and so once again the angle is close to 1 half pi, and we can repeat the argument. So what is this heuristic reasoning showing you? This is showing you simply, well, that I'm going to perform a long sequence of very small steps. Okay? Because if this happens again, once again the new point will be not far from the previous and so on. Okay? It looks I'm entering some kind of, it's not exactly a loop, but almost a loop. Okay? I can repeat the argument. The argument is not exact mathematics. Please remind this. Okay? I'm saying, first, here I said, it's likely that the step is going to be close to zero because I'm orthogonal to the theta-percent direction. Almost orthogonal. Okay? This is not a mathematical, precise mathematical argument. Then I'm telling you, this is going to be close to zero. Then if the two points are not very different, the gradients are not likely to be very different. But it's likely, it depends on n. Okay? The gradient might be very steep, and so it may change. And then all that falls. So there are some, let's say, some arguments which are not mathematically precise. Okay? But this turns into a practical trouble. The algorithm may slow down a huge lot. Okay? It might be very slow. Okay? Because if all these things which are not mathematically certain but likely, you will enter a long sequence of very small steps and the algorithm will move very slowly. Okay? Which is not good. How can you overcome this issue? Well, there are a few techniques. Is the argument clear to you? Okay. Yes. Because this ratio is close to zero. Okay. Se questo rapporto è molto vicino a zero, il numeratore è molto più piccolo del numeratore, perché questo sarà un terzo, un quarto, tre quarti, qualcosa del genere. Okay? So, This ratio is close to zero, means that the numerator is much smaller than the denominator. Okay. So, what is the way to overcome this trouble? Well, there are the so-called restart techniques. Okay. What's a restart technique? Well, it says, okay, the direction and the gradient become almost orthogonal. Okay, let's erase all the memory. So let's restart. Restart means that at some iteration we choose to set the parameter beta k to zero, okay? Rather than using the usual formula, you put it to zero. Let's say every n bar iteration, you cancel the memory of the previous iterations. So, direction is becoming orthogonal, I switch to minus the gradient, because taking this partition here is just, this is saying that as a direction you take minus the gradient and so the steepest descending direction. Every n bar iteration you take the steepest descend direction. How to choose n bar? Okay. There is no mathematics helping you here. An indication is to take its order of n. Okay? N 2 times n, 3 times n, something like that. There's another technique, which is saying, why should I choose to make a restart at a number of fixed iterations? Maybe the algorithm is working well, okay? Maybe the direction is not becoming orthogonal to the gradient. Why should I perform a restart? There's no reason, okay? So there are automatic restart techniques due to Pollack and Riviere, which is based on a simple observation. Beta k is that coefficient there, which comes by similarity from the linear case in which beta k is the ratio of these scalar products. Rk times Rk over Rk minus 1 times itself, okay? But in the linear case, we also know that Rk is orthogonal to Rk minus 1. So, in the linear case, this quantity can also be written as Rk times Rk minus 1 divided Rk minus 1 times itself. In the linear case, these two formulas are the same. Okay? We choose to apply this because this is the one that we wrote, because there is no reason to write it this way. But if you replace the residual of the linear case with minus the gradient, okay, or with the gradient, these two are no more the same formula. So the idea by Pollack and Riviere was saying, okay, just take this, the gradient of alpha xk times itself minus the gradient at the previous iteration. And with the very same denominator.
Okay.
You see, I erase, but one of the consequences of having the angle to be almost 1 half pi was that the two gradients were very similar. Okay. So if the two gradients are very similar, this vector here is almost zero. Okay. If this is almost zero, beta k is almost zero. Okay. So this idea allows to perform an approximate restart automatically. Okay.
Let's see, this is the choice by Pollack in here.
Sounds very nice because you plug it into the algorithm and it works by itself. Does it work? Yes, except for one thing. You can no longer prove convergence. Okay? You can prove convergence if you apply this technique for strongly convex function plus an exact line search. But in general, this works well in practice, but does not yield a convergent result for general functions. Okay? There's also another strange feature here. You are no longer guaranteed that this coefficient is positive. Okay? Because here you have here and up there you have the ratio of positive quantities. Here nobody is telling you that this scalar product is positive. Okay? So it might also be negative. So there is also a variance of this that is telling if it is negative, don't take it, but take zero. Okay. So the message of that I'm going to give you today is the following: be careful. The conjugate gradient method may produce directions which try to become orthogonal to the gradient, and these can give rise to a sequence of very, very small steps. You can exploit one of these restart techniques to overcome this issue. Okay? Fixed number of iterations, you erase the memory. You put the coefficient to zero, or you can do it approximately in an automatic way by the Pollack-Ribiere formula. This one and this other one. Okay? So I'm going to show you a few examples on the computer. Do you have any question? Okay, so I'm going to take the screen down. Let's fix the right things. Let's first show how the algorithm works on this function, which is a quadratic function, x1 squared plus 5 times x2 squared. Okay? This is, we know that the minimum is at 0, we know that we have algorithms here, and we know that applying the conjugate gradient method, let's say starting from 2, 1, for instance, the minimum point is 0,0, these are the level curves, we have already seen this other times. What do you expect? Okay. We apply the conjugate gradient method. This is the case Professor Bevilacqua described to you in details. So you expect convergence in at most, two iterations, because we are in R2, and this is what happens. Okay? One iteration, two iterations. X0, X1, X2. Okay? And you get it. I also showed you and talked to you about an algorithm where you can get for strongly convex quadratic function, which is this case a finite convergence using the eigenvalues. Okay? You can prove that the two algorithms are not the same. Okay? Let me show you what happens if I apply the algorithm for the nonlinear case, okay, for the nonlinear conjugate gradient method that is exploiting the strong Wolf condition for the very same function, okay. Clearly, it takes more iterations because whenever I find a step size which satisfies the Strong-Wolf conditions, I stop and I'm not doing the exact computation of the linear conjugate gradient method. I didn't explain you how to perform how to choose a point to which satisfies the Wolf conditions. Okay. When we were speaking about Hermitian, we were knowing that it was enough to take the step size small enough. And so a bisection procedure was enough. Here, I don't want to give you the details, but it is a bit more involved. It is, let's say it is a bisection which does not always go towards zero. Okay. You keep an interval and you know that there is a point satisfying the Wolf conditions inside the interval, okay? And you do a bisection, but then you when you take the point in the middle, you decide if you keep this interval or this other interval, okay? It is pretty heavy to describe, so I skip it. It is called the backtracking procedure, okay? But it's not very different from a bisection. Okay, it's the idea is the same, but you may move in both directions, towards zero or away from zero, according to the property satisfied by the new step size. Okay, if it satisfies Hermitian, you increase it. If it satisfies Wolf or curvature or strong curvature, you move towards zero. Okay, this is roughly the idea. But, however, this was to show you there is no reason to exploit the more general algorithm in the linear case, okay? In the case in which F is strongly, is quadratic and strongly convex, okay? You get something worse because here it took 43 iterations rather than 2, okay? Then I want to show you another the algorithm of another function which is no longer a quadratic function. Okay, so the function is this one, x1 minus 2 to the fourth power plus x1 minus 2x2 squared. Okay. So this is a fourth degree polynomial. Let me up. Okay, I can make this. I apply the original algorithm, so I called it no restart. Okay, let's start from 1,1. Clearly here, we know that the minimum point is 2, 1, because this is the sum of two non-negative terms. The first term is 0 when x1 is equal to 2. And if x1 is equal to 2, the second term is 0 when x2 is equal to 1. Okay, so 2, 1 is the minimum point. Okay, so 2, 1 is here, I start from here, and this is the behavior of the algorithm. It took 34 iterations, and if we zoom in the picture, here you can see, in this area here, a lot of small steps almost along the very same direction. Okay, if I zoom, you see it better. Okay, you see? From here, we move here, then here, 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 here. Okay, almost along the line. So the possible behavior I described you earlier, here you can see it in practice. Okay? Let's apply a restart technique. For instance, so restart. Okay, let's begin at the very same point. Let's see what happened. It took 17 iterations, okay? A half, okay? Clearly here you have also some steps which are not very good because you're almost moving along the same direction with small steps. Okay, but they are less because you apply a restart. Okay, I don't remember. I think that I set the restart. I set the restart. Where is it? Every 6 iterations. Okay, which is 3 times n. Let's try 4. Sorry, I need to close this. So, what happens? Okay, you see here, already by the picture, you can see that likely to perform more iterations, and actually it performed 49. Okay, so the choice of n star of the number of iteration after which you apply a restart is critical, okay? And there is no mathematics to tell you what works well and what works bad, okay? It's just a question of sensitivity. It depends on the function f. It depends on your expertise on types of function. You need to have some sensitivity which is not easy to get. So here you see that applying the restarts too often, you even got a worse behavior than doing no restart technique. Okay? Because here at many iterations you apply minor degradients and you didn't move much really, because the level curves are narrow in the direction of the steepest descent.
apply it less often?
Hmm?
Didn't we apply it less often?
We apply it less often, yeah. It's strange. I'm not going to... I tried 4, I could try 8, and it doesn't work as well, as good as it was for with 6. Okay? It's just to show you that there's nothing telling you a priori how to choose this quantity. Okay? And... No, so this should be... We could also try to perform the Pollack-Rivière technique. So it does the approximate restart automatically. And you see, in this example, it doesn't work really very well, okay? Because you have 31 iterations, okay? Also, I want to show you another thing, which I prepared while we were just waiting for the last of you to arrive. Let's apply to this function the gradient method. Okay? Not the conjugate. The original gradient method, in where we take the steepest descent direction and we perform an inexact line search. With the strong bulk conditions. Okay, where's the picture? Oh no, that's bad. Okay, let's just run it without the picture. It took 18 iterations. Okay, so this is an example where the gradient method works better than the conjugate gradient method. Okay. And now I'm going to show you the worst example we have seen in previous trials for the gradient method, which was the Rosenbrock banana function. You remember? It took, while we were taking a break, 3,500 iterations to stop. Okay? So, now... Let's not just make the same mistake. Let me close this. Okay, so we started from 0,0, if you don't remember it, the function is this one. One minus x1 squared plus 100 times x2 minus x1 squared all squared. Okay? And this is a curved canyon with high walls. Okay, which are going up very, very, very fast. And so, let's do it. You remember, the level curves have the shape of a banana. So I'm applying the original conjugate gradient method for non-quadratic functions. And this is its behavior. Okay? You can see, keeping memory of the previous directions, you are able to follow the curvature of the canyon. Okay? And it took 25 iterations. 25 versus 3,500. Okay? I mean, it's less than 1%. And also, let me close the picture. I could apply I could apply the restart technique. It's coming, it takes some time to draw the line first. It's working this way. You see, when we are here, we first do a sequence of small steps, then I make a couple of restarts and it goes away, and the same thing happens here. It took, let me see, it took 39 iterations, so worse than without the restarting technique. But if we apply the Pollack-Revere technique, I'm telling you, it's going to be better even than the original algorithm. Okay. See, here just runs away from this area a bit faster than the original one, and up there it's pretty fast. You don't have that long sequence of very small steps, and indeed it took merely 17 iterations. So I've shown you examples where the conjugate gradient method works incomparably better than the gradient method, but also an example where the gradient method behaves better than the conjugate gradient method. Okay. So one message should be: there is no magic algorithm that solves all the problem better than other algorithms. Okay. It depends on the kind of function, and I don't know the answer to your question. Okay. Your question is how to choose, and
Otherwise, you are going to try all of them and to be finished.
No, it depends. Okay, when you have situation like this, when you have narrower level curves like this one, doesn't mind the banana shape. If they are pretty narrow, the gradient method doesn't work very well. Okay, because you are going to be zigzagging a lot because you are trying to do the best at every iteration in a greedy way. So you make small steps because you are going to hit against the worst level curve fast. Okay. So then conjugacy in this way can give you a better behavior. If your level curves are pretty round, okay, it's likely that the gradient method is going to perform better. Okay. Here we have very narrow level curves, while in the previous example we had level curves which were round but not very round. Okay, enough round for the other method to work better. And then there is an area we are not going to discuss. You can also give some estimates on computational complexity. Okay, how the error reduces from one iteration to the other. They are a bit technical and they are not very satisfactory, but there are results in that direction. Okay, but the message is there is no magic algorithm. Do you have any other questions? Simpler questions than Labos. Okay, so if not, we are taking a break, and then Professor Bevilacqua is going to start the new topic.